from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by the Center for the Performing Arts, presenting the 2011-2012 season in three first-class venues.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll get a preview of this year's Art versus Art competition.
I'll chat with this year's Poetry Out Loud state champion, Zach Rooker.
And I'll find out about some great upcoming events that benefit Second Helpings. Plus, we'll also have our arts calendar we call...
What'll we do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Primary Colors is wrapping up the art-filled month of September with a battle royale of painting contests. Art versus art. Only you can save paintings from destruction and help pick the winner. The main event begins on Friday, September 30th at the Vogue Theater with balloting beginning at 8 p.m. sharp. There will be lots of music from A-Squared Industries and from the Leisure Kings Big Band, but the real attractions are the chainsaws and the paintings. Travis DiNicola talked with members of Primary Colors to find out more.
Brian Myers, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you here.
Travis, great to be back.
I think probably the coolest thing about this is not only is it such a great evening of entertainment and art, but it is totally a homegrown Indianapolis event. I mean, it's not like it was copied from somewhere else and brought here. It originated here, and it is tremendous. So let's talk about Art versus Art. It's coming up Friday, September 30th. How do you describe it, Brian?
Well, Art versus Art, there's a little bit of story to it. It takes a little bit to cover here.
Yeah.
Art versus Art is a winner-take-all painting competition with a twist. Friday, September 30th, 2011, at the Vogue in Broad Ripple is going to be the actual main event painting competition. So Art versus Art, basically we have 100-plus artists come out. They have 4 hours to create a piece of artwork. Everybody gets the same supplies, the same paintbrushes, the same paints, the same canvas panels. So it's sort of a level playing field.
Yeah.
The artists come out. This year we've been doing the paint day, which was September 10th, at City Market. So artists come out. They pay an entry fee. They get their supplies.
And that covers the cost of the supplies and all that stuff.
And they get a ticket to the show, to the main event. So all of the artists come out and they spend 4 hours. They make a painting. Those paintings are then photographed and put online at artversusart.net. Prior to the show, people go online, and generally artists will promote their own work, say, go to artversusart.net and vote for my painting. What we have is a voting engine set up at that website. The audience at large, and you talk about bringing social media into the fold, will go in and vote for their favorite three paintings of those 100-plus contenders.
Okay.
That narrows the field down to the top 32. So we've got 32 paintings at the main event on display. Your ticket stub at the main event is your voting ballot. You vote for your favorite three from those 32 in the field. The doors open at 8 o'clock at the Vogue. So you have 2 hours to vote between 8 and 9:45. So it's not quite 2 hours. Vote for your favorite three of those top 32. Mm-hmm. That narrows the field down to the top 16.
Okay.
Those 16 paintings go head-to-head on stage.
I'm gonna stop you right there because we're going to get back to that in just a second.
Sure.
The head-to-head part.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
but the first part of it, so the artists who are doing this, you've got a mix of very well-known local artists, professional artists, established artists, as well as amateurs, people who are just having fun. I mean, the paint day itself was a really cool event. I mean, that's always a cool event each year.
It's a great time. It's a good time for artists to get together. This year, I think, was remarkable. It's a contest, and I think a lot of the artists that came out really had their game faces on.
Yeah.
They really have kind of watched as the event has progressed over the years. They see what's won. They kind of see what photographs well and looks good from a distance. Mm-hmm. Now, these are, like you said, established studio artists. So they have their own themes, styles, the way they work. Well, we throw them in and give them materials they're maybe not used to working with or
Because basically, you said it, so it's like a, you know, one of those sort of canvas on cardboard, like pre-stretched pieces.
Sure.
It's like 17 inches or...
All of the materials are donated from Prism Art Supplies up in Castleton.
And they get like a basic set of paints, colors and...
You get your primary colors, you get black and white, red, yellow, blue.
Yep.
That, you know, certainly cover all of the sort of spectrum. But that's your primary system that you're working with.
In those 4 hours, so they can paint anything they want. There's no other theme. But as you said, the artists who are doing this, especially the ones who have paid attention to what's won and what's worked well over the years, because in the end, it is a contest.
It is a contest.
I love what you just said about how, like, you know, painting stuff that not just photographs well, but it's also seen from a distance for when it's competing on stage, right?
You know, a lot of the more illustrative work tends to read better on the website. It's one thing when you go into a gallery and you see something from up close and you can see the sensitivity to the surface, perhaps, or some of those some of that minutia. But you know, it's a $4,000 grand prize.
Which is huge.
Which is huge. It is competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you do have the people that come out and bring their kids and they have fun and it's great. It's a great day. And down at the city market, there's food and there's beverages and everybody's kind of milling about. And but you do have that contingent that are quite competitive.
So yeah. Well, and it is a serious competition. So, okay, so we start with all those paintings. It gets narrowed down through the online voting. You end up with the top 32. People go in. They're voting for their favorites the night of. The other paintings, the ones that don't get into the final rounds, they can be bought.
Sure.
People can purchase those.
Those paintings are on display at the Vogue that evening. Primary Colors takes a small percentage, but for the most part, the artist takes the money. They're on display as you walk in. We've got a front desk with our merchandise and whatnot. And so all of the art that didn't make the top 32 are then on sale.
Sure.
We've had remarkable sales.
There's some good stuff.
Yeah, there's some great.
Yeah.
It's all
I've bought
great
some
work.
Paintings in the past from that,
You know, some folks aren't real savvy with the social media and maybe don't get the votes that they should get, or maybe the quality of work doesn't make it to the top 32 because they didn't kind of play the game as such. But those paintings are available the day of the event, that evening at the Vogue, and we sell a lot of work, which is great for the artists. Art versus art is not just about destroying artwork, as contrary which we'll get to.
Uh-huh.
But it is about, you know, selling art, and it's a non-traditional space, and it's a non-traditional event. It's not your gallery, it's not your museum, but we do move a lot of the artist work, and the artists do profit from that, which is good to support.
Which is excellent. And as you said, it is not a gallery or a museum. It is a slugfest.
It's a slugfest.
It's art versus art. Okay, so the main event, when we get down to the final 16, explain to me what happens there, because this is where the paintings start going head-to-head, and it just becomes mayhem. I mean, people are shouting for the work that they love. They're screaming. You know, from round to round, works are saved, works are destroyed.
It is a slugfest. It is. The crowd gets bloodthirsty. We're really excited. We're really excited this year because we've got Mike Wiltrout, the venerable Mike Wiltrout from the Leisure Kings, is our MC, and he's always been sort of on board.
He does a great job.
Well, this year we have the Leisure Kings big band, so we've got a 16-piece band behind Mike on stage. So the music is really going to be integrated into the show. And, there'll be horn blats and snare hits and all that. It's going to be really exciting. So 10 o'clock, the main event starts. We'll have the big band out there. They're going to do a couple of numbers. Basically, the stage layout is you have two easels.
Mm-hmm.
So the 16 top paintings go head to head. We pick the first two at random, head to head. We have a decibel meter on stage.
Right.
That is projected. The readout for the decibel meter is projected behind the stage. So basically, the way that the bouts are run, Mike will signal to one painting, say, "Okay, let's hear some cheers." The crowd gets wild, goes crazy, and noisemakers and whatnot. And then, okay, let's try painting two. And again, we're using the decibel meter reading to judge that winning painting for that particular bout. We go through the first.
So what happens then is the one that doesn't make it to the next round, that's when you spin the wheel of death.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the heart of art versus art. The losing painting.
How could you forget?
The losing painting faces the wheel of death. So we've got the wheel of death that has the Dirty Sanchez and the chainsaw. It's sort of like a Price is Right type prop. And skulls and flames.
Ways that the painting could be destroyed.
Multiple ways the painting's. There's the MC's choice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what else do we have this year? It's always changing. We always keep it new and
keep it fresh.
And so that's a little top secret at this point.
Now, once the mode of destruction is determined, the audience can, if anyone wants to bid on it, they can save it.
We have this Doug, our Sotheby's auctioneer, mm-hmm. will then come out and say, "Hey, this painting is facing the acid bath. Who wants to save this art? Who wants to save this painting?" And the auctioneer will then come out and auction off the work, and audience members can then decide if they want.
Right.
If they value that work enough, they can auction it off, and the bidding starts for the first round at $150, the second round $250, so it gets, you know,
sure.
The stakes subsequently get higher as the
and if someone wants it, they can save it, and if no one wants it, then the wheel of death.
The wheel of death.
And then there's
play sound effects now.
Right, and then there's always, of course, there is an instant death option, and that has happened before. Now, one thing I want to be very clear about is all the artists going into this competition of art versus art know what possibly awaits their painting.
They sign a waiver when they sign up for the competition. They fully understand that some art will die, and that's it's a competition. That's just the nature
of
the nature of the event. We can encourage people to save the art, to come out and support local artists. The crowd does get bloodthirsty, and they'd like to see a little bit of destruction. So we have built into one of the pie segments the instant death, which could be any of the modes that have laid out. And the crowd goes wild. It's a great time.
Travis DiNicola with members of Primary Colors. Art versus Art takes place on Friday, September 30th at the Vogue Theater, with balloting beginning at 8 p.m. sharp. You can get tickets at the Vogue, Luna, Indie Swank, or go online to artvsart.net. And you don't have to say it that funny way when you go online, artvsart.net. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
Each year, the National Endowment for the Arts and the Poetry Foundation partner with Indiana Arts Commission to support Poetry Out Loud, a program that encourages high school students to explore great poetry through memorization and recitation. This year's state champion, Zach Rooker, joined Sharon Gamble by phone to talk about how he discovered poetry, what it was like representing Indiana at the National Poetry Out Loud competition this spring, and what he plans to do in the future.
So, Zach, I want to ask how you got interested in poetry. Do you remember the first time you heard a poem or read a poem and it just grabbed you?
I mean, I grew up reading Shel Silverstein books and reading funny poetry and humorous poems like that. But the first time I really got interested in reciting poetry, especially for Poetry Out Loud and that type of recitation, was in middle school. My father homeschooled me while I was in middle school. And during that time, part of my English curriculum was we'd memorize about 8 poems a year. And so by the end of middle school, I had memorized about 16 poems. And when I found Poetry Out Loud, it seemed like a perfect fit.
You know, it's interesting to deal with the challenge of memorization in an age when everything is so immediate. You just turn to your smartphone or turn your netbook on and Google is right there to assist you. We don't have to memorize very much anymore.
Right.
Do you have an interest in theater or public speaking at all?
Well, I do, actually. I've been practicing public speaking ever since really second grade. I've been making presentations at my school. I had the opportunity, actually, to give a presentation on Pearl Harbor at the 65th anniversary a few years ago.
Cool.
In fact, and so I've done a lot of public speaking. And in terms of my interest in theater, I have gotten involved in my school's theater program, and I go back and forth between acting in a role and doing the behind-the-scenes tech.
Is it different for you when you're acting in a role on stage or reciting poetry out loud? Do you have a persona you create for yourself when you're reciting poetry?
Well, when I'm reciting the poems that I've picked out for Poetry Out Loud, one of the criteria when I'm picking out my poems is that I want to pick out three poems that I can feel, that I can be moved by. And so that really helps in terms of putting emotion into it and inflection and getting the mood across, because I've personally felt these poems myself.
Hmm. And I'm sure you're tired of people asking you this question, but would you be willing to share one of your favorites with us?
Sure. I would say the poem that I most connected with out of the three that I chose for this year's Poetry Out Loud was A Psalm of Life by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Would you like me to recite it?
I sure would, yeah.
All right. A Psalm of Life by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream, for the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way, but to act that each tomorrow find us farther than today. Art is long, and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still, like muffled drums, are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not like dumb, driven cattle. Be a hero in the strife. Trust no future, howe'er pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act, act in the living present. Heart within, and God o'erhead. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime. And, departing, leave behind us footprints on the sands of time, footprints that perhaps another, sailing o'er life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seen, shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing, with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait.
Wow, that's amazingly moving, and you have such a wonderful sense of capturing the meaning, but also capturing the love of language, the internal rhymes and the beautiful shapes of vowels and consonants. What attracted you to this? Is there some particular reason that you're feeling? I mean, this really is kind of an older person's poem. I have to tell you this. This is a poem for somebody who's had a lot of life. Do you read a lot?
I do read a lot, but the reason why I chose this poem, there are kind of two reasons. One, all the three poems that I did for Poetry Out Loud are connected, that they all have a different outlook on life. I did A Dream Within a Dream by Edgar Allan Poe.
Mm-hmm.
I did Dover Beach by Matthew Arnold.
Oh, and one of my favorites.
And a Psalm of Life by Longfellow. And I feel like Longfellow truly captures my viewpoint on life the best. And while you say that that poem reflects the view of someone older, One thing, personally, I felt about this poem when I was looking through it is one thing I like is I feel like the person, the narrator, the person who in the poem is expressing this thought, I feel ages throughout the poem. He starts off as a young man, you know, don't let the problems of life get in your way. And it just goes from what I feel the youthfulness at the beginning to the wisdom at the end. And that's why I like that poem.
Mm. What was it like, both at the state level and then going to D.C., being surrounded by other people who have this same love for saying and hearing poetry out loud? Did you meet people and immediately kind of understood something about each other?
Yes, certainly. At the national level, I mean, you're there for 3 days, and there are 53 other people from around the country. You have people, you have one from D.C., and a couple of the territories are represented. And so you have 53 like-minded people who all love poetry. And it's a very interesting time. We would spend the couple nights there. Actually, we would go outside and recite poetry that we liked. And so it was a wonderful experience to be around all those people who had a love of poetry.
Wow. Are you attracted to all different styles of poetry? Do you do slam poetry, or is there a particular era that you kind of have embraced as, this is my poetry, I love the romantic poetry, or whatever?
Well, you know, I would certainly not say that I am the poetry connoisseur that perhaps many of the students at the National Round of Poetry Out Loud are, but you know, I feel like any poem that expresses a view on life, I usually gravitate to. I'm interested in hearing people's viewpoint on what life means to them.
Hmm. Do you write?
I do some writing. Most writing I do is actually historical. I do a lot of research and on historical topics, and a lot of my writing focuses around my research in history.
Mm-hmm. What's ahead for you? I'm sure you're thinking about college, have made a decision maybe. What are you going to study?
Well, it's quite interesting when people hear I'm the Indiana Poetry Out Loud champion, and I've spent a lot of time with poetry, but that they think I might want to pursue a career, perhaps in English or something. But ever since fourth grade, I've really been interested in math and science, and I'm looking at attending Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland to study mechanical engineering.
Wow, that's a challenge.
Yes, it will be, but it'll be a good one.
And the great thing is, as an articulate young man, you'll be able to describe anything that you've invented or perfected.
Right. I feel like poetry out loud, really, even if you're not going into a career that really deals with poetry or writing or some form of English, it can still really help you. It amazed me, truly, when I went to the national competition, and almost everyone there wasn't interested in a career in English. Instead, you found many people who want to become doctors or scientists or engineers, mathematicians, and it's something about, I think it might be the work ethic of you know, someone who has that strive that, you know, you can work hard enough at Poetry Out Loud.
That makes great sense. And I know you have at least one teacher or administrator sitting in the room where you're using the phone to have this conversation. So pass along to your teachers and administrators. They're doing a fine job in letting you and your classmates know the value of a well-rounded education.
Yes. Well, my school has certainly embraced Poetry Out Loud, and it really has become a great thing at the school. In fact, every single freshman, a class of 550, has to memorize a poem, and then they have the opportunity to present that poem at the school Poetry Out Loud competition.
That's fantastic. Keep up the good work. And thank you so much for making time to talk with us. It was delightful to hear you and talk with you.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Sharon Gamble with high school student Zach Rooker, Indiana Poetry Out Loud's competition winner. Find out more about the program at poetryoutloud.org.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
Let me be among the first to wish you happy autumn.
Here we are. It is official now, isn't
Yay,
it?
Yay, it is.
Lovely.
And I have something that I'd like to tell you about that I think you'll find fun as an autumnal activity.
Yes.
That means it's time for our calendar recall.
What do we do?
I know that fall edition. I know that in your household, popcorn is a staple of the diet.
Yes, certainly.
The Garber DiNicola diet. Well, you owe it to yourself to go out to see the Amazing Maze exhibit,
which is just opening. I've heard about this.
The full title is Amazing Maze, The Science, History, and Culture of Corn. Who knew? I am not making this up. This is not a joke. It's not an April Fool's.
Only in Indiana, though.
I know. The Indiana State Museum has assembled this exhibition, and part of it is a display where you can see how every day each of us uses 25 products containing corn.
Yep.
Whether you eat corn or not.
Or not, just things that we use.
Things that we use, that's right. So
or
amazing.
Rub in our bodies or eat in other ways or drive, who knows. Okay.
But there's all sorts of great programming associated with the exhibit. So especially if you have kids in your life, take them to the Science of Popcorn. If you're Travis and Elizabeth, go see the Science of Popcorn.
There you go.
At the Indiana State Museum.
That should be a ton of fun. A very corny, Sharon, corny sounds you're making there. Hey, I want to tell you about the second annual ISIS Femme Blue Festival at Indiana Landmarks, taking place on September 30th at 8 p.m. Again, this is at Indiana Landmarks at their new home on Central Avenue. And this is a group of great women, musicians, vocalists, Nancy Moore, Deborah Mullins, Heather Ramsey, Jennifer Kirk, Monica Herzig, Jordan West, all getting together and playing some great, great music, as well as raising money for education for women in music, and it should just be a ton of fun. They're also doing sort of a trade show for women in music and art and business, as well as these live performances, and anyways, just a great time. Again, September 30th, 8 p.m. at Indiana Landmarks, ISIS Femme Blue.
Very good. Here's something that has a little bit of a flavor that will celebrate women. It's the first concert of the Ronin Chamber Ensemble's season. The whole season tagline is An Evening of Romance, and it starts with An Evening of Romance on Tuesday, October 4th at the Wood Room of Hilbert Circle Theater. And it includes Schubert's One Movement Quartet Satz for string quartet, followed by the world premiere performance of University of Indianapolis composer John Berner's Cabaret Songs for, get this instrumentation, soprano, clarinet, and bayan. And if you're not familiar with the bayan, you need to go check this out. Marco Petrichek.
Can I buy one?
you can. And you can hire Marco Petrichek to teach you how to play it. Think Russian accordion. That's the closest thing I can come to describing it. Also, music by Brahms on the program, the great quintet for clarinet and strings. That's An Evening of Romance, Tuesday, October 4th, Ronin Chamber Ensemble, 7:30, Wood Room, Hilbert Circle Theater.
Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. Hey, just want to mention some great plays that are going on that are running in town right now. Up at Beef and Boards, of course, you've got Singing in the Rain, the fantastic musical. And then at the Phoenix Theater, you've got the musical Spring Awakening, which is playing right now. And then over at Theater on the Square, well, they always do something interesting. Now they're burying Aunt Beulah. So she's being buried from now through October 1st.
Wow, she won't stay down, huh?
Oh.
Sorry, that was terrible. If you have an Aunt Beulah, my apologies. Carmina Burana, if you've ever heard a television commercial that used dramatic music, you've probably heard an excerpt of it. The Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra is performing, joined by the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir, on the 23rd and 24th, that is this weekend. So go hear it live.
Yeah, hey, if you've been up at the JCC lately, maybe working out or dropping kids off for daycare, and you've seen some beautiful art up there, and you're thinking, who is that? Well, it's Kyle Ragsdale, and it's certainly a show worth checking out. Or maybe you're a Kyle Ragsdale fan and just want to see some of his latest work. Well, it's up at the JCC Art Gallery, and the show is titled Alaya, and it is his newest show, and it is up from now through October 24th. The Art Gallery at the JCC is free, and it's open to the public during regular building hours, just off of Hoover Road up there, and certainly an exhibit worth checking out.
Just a couple more opportunities for you to see and hear the words and music of Cole Porter. The show is simply called Cole, and it was devised by Benny Green and Alan Strachan, and it is being performed by Actors Theater of Indiana up at the Center for the Performing Arts through the 25th. That's this Sunday. I Love Paris, Anything Goes, Night and Day, I Get a Kick Out of You. You know more songs by Cole Porter than you think you do, so see if you can still score a ticket for that Actors Theater of Indiana production.
And Drowsy Chaperone up at the Civic Theater, and Sharon, I have not had a chance to see it yet, but from word on the street, it may be the best show that the Civic has ever done.
I gather that. I'm seeing it this very weekend.
All right, how exciting. I keep hearing lots of people say that go, don't run, or run, don't walk. That's what it is, right? Or at least drive carefully up to see the Drowsy Chaperone up at the new Tarkington Theater up in Carmel, where the Civic Theater is now calling home.
Absolutely. Hey, speaking of shows that opened recently, don't forget Curtains at Footlight Theater. Curtains at Footlight Theater, show within a show kind of situation.
Absolutely. And if you are driving around right now and feel lost, well, and you're listening to us, perhaps you're trying to find Rocky Ripple, or maybe you're trying to find your way out of Rocky Ripple. Just a reminder that the Rocky Ripple 2011 Festival is taking place on Saturday the 24th. It goes from 11 to 6, so if this is Friday night, you're listening to Art of the Matter, well, it's still going on tomorrow. If you're listening Saturday afternoon, well, maybe you are still lost in Rocky Ripple, but it's a great event, and it's got a lot of great bands, free admission, Andra Faye, Woe Tiger, 78 RPM, Mojo Gumbo are all playing, and there's also food and beverages and birdhouses, so it should be a ton of fun out in Rocky Ripple.
And if you find it, you may tweet about it. I have two things.
I'm sorry, bat houses, not bird houses.
Oh.
Let's be clear about this. It's because it's new this year that they're having Rocky Ripple artists creating bat houses. They're nicely done.
I need to work on my bird and other animal repertoire, my bat repertoire, my mammal repertoire here. Okay, I have two things, two road trips to Bloomington. One of them's for the adults and the other is for the kids. Let's do the kids first. Cardinal Stage continues its kids series with Click, Clack, Moo, Cows the Type.
Of course they are.
Click, clack, moo, cow's the type. I'm just saying, it's at the John Waldron Arts Center, and it opens on Saturday, October 8th. They don't card you. I think adults are allowed to go as well.
Mm-hmm.
However, don't take the kids to the season opener at IU Theater.
No.
At the IU Auditorium, because the season opener on October 7th, 8th, 11th, and 15th is Hair.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Though I think my mom took me to see the movie of Hair when I was quite a young tyke.
That explains so much.
It does, doesn't it? I think I was 8 or 9.
Pam, what were you thinking?
It was quite an education for me. Well, we will be back next week with more things to take
to corrupt
or not
you.
Take your children to on that calendar we call
What Do We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
The nonprofit Second Helpings transforms lives through the power of food in three specific ways. They provide meals to the hungry, provide job training for the underemployed, and rescue food from being wasted. They also throw some great events, including the upcoming Harvest, a celebration of local food and chefs, and the Tonic Ball, one of Indianapolis's most popular nights of art and music. Travis DiNicola spoke with Chef Roger Duran, Chef Sam Brown, musician Matt Mays, and Second Helpings Ben Shine about the upcoming events.
Gentlemen, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you all here today. We've got Ben Shine and Matt Mays and Chef Sam Brown and Chef Roger Duran. It's great to have all four of you here in the studio.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Let's start with Ben. Let's start with you, if you don't mind. Give me just a little background on Second Helpings.
Well, Second Helpings, we're transforming lives through the power of food. We rescue about 1.5 million pounds of food every year from local places such as U.S. Foods, Kroger, Trader Joe's, Costco, and we use that rescued food to do two things. We prepare and deliver about 3,000 meals a day to 60 social service agencies locally.
Wow.
So that they can feed their people every day.
Okay.
We also use that food to train unemployed and underemployed people in the culinary arts. So for 10 weeks, we give them the professional skills and the life skills to go have a career in the culinary industry.
And that is a phenomenal program. That's something I know Chef Sam Brown has been a big part of. It's great to have you here and see you again. Tell me a little bit about the job training part of this.
The job training program is a job training program specifically for those who are seeking careers as cooks and starting the foundation for those who have a desire to become professional chefs. It's a free 10-week culinary job training program. The process of entering the program is just to go to our website, secondhelpings.org, or come into our facility at 1121 Southeastern and fill out an application. At that point, there's a process that you go through that includes an interview, and the classes start. We operate 10-week training classes. Professional chefs from all over the city come in to participate and teach adults the skills that are necessary to be marketable in our industry for employment.
And you guys do a great job with placing your students once they graduate in local restaurants, hotels as well. How many classes are you up to now?
The current class is class 64. We've graduated 454 adults through our culinary job training program. We're happy to say that most of them are no longer experiencing poverty or hunger due to the training that they've received at Second Helping.
Yeah, that part alone is just amazing to me that you guys have trained and helped that many people. Now, on the other end of it, you've also, you know, you rescued a ton of food. I know you guys provide, I mean, something like, what, in the millions of the pounds of food to people each year?
Well, this last March, we celebrated rescuing our 15 millionth pound of food. And this year, and coming up, I think this fall, we will serve our 6 millionth meal.
That's
out in the community.
Really incredible. I mean, Second Helpings is just one of my favorite organizations in town, and what you guys do should really be applauded. So it's great to have you on to talk about that. But this is, of course, an arts and cultural talk show, and you guys have two great events that are coming up just in the next 2 months that both benefit Second Helpings. Let's start with talking about Harvest, because along with Chef Brown, we've also got Chef Duran. I think of different boxers, you know. Chef Duran here from Barcelona Tapas to tell us about what you guys are doing for Harvest, because this is a really fun event, and it's actually at Second Helpings.
It is. It's a great event. It'll be my third Harvest this year, I believe, right, Ben? Correct,
yes.
If I'm wrong. We have a great time in Harvest, bring a lot of tapas. What I do in our menu at Barcelona, we'll be having a bunch of small items this year, probably just featuring my straight menu, along with Chef Brown, whatever he brings to the table, or any other suggestions he may have. But so far, just talking about bringing some of Barcelona's menu into the Harvest.
Well, what I like about the Harvest event is it's not just an opportunity to sample from a whole bunch of local restaurants and also from a lot of lots of different wines and things, but it's also a chance to really walk through the entire Second Helpings building and to see where your classes are, where your kitchens are, where all the food rescue takes place. That's a really cool part of it.
Absolutely. On October 1st at 6 o'clock, you'll have an opportunity not only to eat food from our bistro and from the Barcelona Tapas restaurant, but you have an opportunity to see our operation fully. The students in Class 65 will be there. There will be graduates there. I'll be doing a cooking demonstration, and there will be an opportunity to see how food is actually rescued and brought into our operation, and then how that ends up being food that goes out to our neighbors who probably wouldn't be getting a good meal on a daily basis if it weren't for Second Helpings.
Yeah, it's great to be able to see it in action. And this is, Harvest is not a sit-down event by any means. It is a, you're up and walking around and checking out the whole building, going from, you know, one sort of vendor restaurant to the mm-hmm. next. Tell me about some of the other restaurants. You mentioned our bistro. Of course, we've got, obviously, Barcelona Tapas. Who else is going to be there this year?
Right now, we have my good friend at El Sol de Tala. Ivy Tech program, which Chef Alan Bricker is a good friend of mine as well. I know Duas India is there. Sun King will be there. Fleming Steakhouse that I know of so far. Avec Moy, and these are just, I believe, Best Chocolate in Town will be there, as well as Santorini. And I think off the top of my head, that's all I see in front of me.
You know, that's kind of enough. That's good. That's a good start right there. You know, and I've actually, I've been able to go the past couple of years to it, and I love the event. I'm going again this year. And, you know, some food sample events, you kind of feel like, oh, you know, I didn't really quite get enough. You get more than plenty. I mean, when you leave there, you've had you've been eating all night. You've been tasting different wines, sampling different foods and wines. And you mentioned Sun King. It's a good night to really explore, you know, what's going on in the culinary arts here in town.
If you've ever been to the facility, it's pretty amazing. Yeah. I myself volunteer my time and give classes. Usually my fish and shellfish class in there goes off really well. But the facility is well organized, well kept, and maintained as well. If you ever get a chance, or I'm not sure if you're around, you should cruise it someday. It's a pretty amazing setup, actually.
It really is. Yeah. Let me ask you, Chef Duran, why is it that that you get involved with Second Helpings? You said you volunteer. You're obviously a big supporter. What is it that drives you to do that? Because, I mean, you're probably busy enough running your restaurant.
Yeah, we are busy enough, but there's always a little time to give to the community. My belief in Second Helpings is their philosophy. I mean, giving people a second chance. I'm absolutely a supporter of that. That's why I volunteer. So far, I've taken three of their students, and you know, I believe I've made them to what I consider successful.
Yeah.
They're able to come in with the training that they get and get further skills after they leave my restaurant. So that's why I support the program. I'm a true believer.
Oh, that's great.
The other thing is, because I'm such a believer, that I just got back from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We fed more than enough children down there with it's called WEX, World of Chefs Association.
Okay.
So we're very involved and very, very motivated to helping them, yeah.
Chef Brown, let me ask you, what is it at Harvest that you are looking forward to the most? I mean, there's so many great foods and drinks and opportunities there, but what do you look forward to the most about Harvest?
Well, it's just a great day for the community to involve and engage each other, to just say thank you to the many donors that come out and the volunteers that support us on a day-to-day basis. And it's just an opportunity for everybody to just enjoy each other, have fun, and know that the resources that they provide to us are going to good use every single day. We really, and the theme of Harvest, it's right at the beginning, you know, it's right in the transition where summer's over, and it gives us as chefs and all of the restaurants an opportunity to display a few new items that might be on their menu. So it's just a really good time for a great cause, so that we, as an organization, have the opportunity to feed more of our neighbors who are going through tough economic times, and train more people and get them employed, which at the end of the day makes all of us better.
Absolutely. Ben, I want to ask you just real quick, how can people get tickets to Harvest? Again, it's coming up on October 1st. That's Saturday.
Well, tickets are available right now at secondhelpings.org.
Okay, very good. Now, that is one of the events that we mentioned before, and The second event that I want to talk about is coming up actually a little bit later this fall. November 18th is the date for it, and this is the 10th annual Tonic Ball. It's also an art show, and always just a really fantastic night. Matt Mays, you're on the Tonic Ball committee this year. You've also performed in the past. Tell me about the Tonic Ball.
Well, it's the best night in local music, in my opinion, that we have around here. It was started 10 years ago that we're celebrating the 10th anniversary. It was started by a man named Ken Honeywell 10 years ago, who was thinking of something he could do in the community, and the best answer he could come up with, or the most important thing he could come up with, was feeding people, and he's right. And it started as a humble little event at Radio. I think 100 and some odd people showed up the first night. They covered Graham Parsons tunes. He, you know, kind of grabbed as many bands as he could come up with. And that's the whole basic.
And that's what Ken started with, the idea of like all these local bands covering some artists.
Yeah, you pick one. Originally, it was started out, you picked one artist.
Pick one artist, okay.
They come in.
Graham Parsons, that's okay.
Obscure, yeah. At least, you know, to some. Some people really loved it. But it was successful, and it was a great vibe, and it just continued. And by, I think, Ben, it was year 4 or 5, it grew to the point where they needed 2 rooms. And so expanded to the Fountain Square Theater, and was there. It has been in those 2 rooms for the last couple of years. And last year, in Tonic Ball 9, we covered the Beatles.
Yeah, number 9.
Number 9. And it was it was for the first time ever, it sold out.
We had about 1,500 people.
Yeah, 1,500 people in attendance. It sold out before the actual evening. So this year we're expanding to 3 rooms. We have REM, David Bowie, and Michael Jackson. So we have Michael Jackson in the Fountain Square Theater. We have REM in Radio,
okay.
And David Bowie in the White Rabbit.
That's kind of quite a mix of those three artists.
It is. It's actually 3 big bands.
What was the thinking behind, having those 3 artists this year?
It's a heck of a. I have to let.
I mean, with number 9, it made sense, of course, with the Beatles and stuff. And
yeah, you don't really top those. You don't top the Beatles. So what do? You just make it bigger and hopefully better. And we have 3 heavy hitters, I think, who, you know, could probably carry a room by themselves, but this year, because of the popularity and the way it's grown, we have to expand to 3 because, you know, we give the people what they want.
I'm almost kind of surprised that David Bowie hadn't been in there before.
I ask for it every year that I've been on the committee, and I finally got my year.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, and he's been just. I think people have tried to make a play for him in previous years where they just went ahead and covered him anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. We finally get it.
So tell me about who are some of the bands that you guys anticipate having. I know we're still a bit out in terms of all the planning for it.
Yeah, we have because we have the third room this year. We're going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of somewhere between 45 and 50 bands all in, and we have a handful of them.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, and logistically it'll be a little bit interesting, but it's worth it because the people, the bands are so committed to doing this, and they love, we have so many bands that come back every single year, no matter where they sort of end up and where they scatter to throughout the year. Last year...
So you guys, like, what you set up, you got to set up like a house drum set, right? And so that the bands can sort of move in and out, because they
our
only
best.
Do like 1 or 2 songs, right? And then they move on?
Bands do about a couple songs a piece, and we set up a back line such that we can try to make things go in and out. If you've ever been in Radio at 10 o'clock on the evening of Tonic Ball, you realize that the bands essentially have to crowd surf to the stage because there's no way to get there. But we're, you know, each year we try to get a little bit better about logistically making that happen. But committed bands this far are Everything Now, Carrie Ray, Gene Deer, 8-Track All-Stars, Red Light Driver, Neon Love Life, just to name a few. It's a diverse lineup. And, you know, I think we had something like, for the first year ever, we had an online submission and we had something like 90 entries.
Wow.
And we're still getting more calls. So
3 venues, and you can buy 1 ticket and go to all 3 venues, right?
Right. Tickets are at tonicindy.com. They're $25, and it gives you a pass to go into all 3 rooms at any point in time. As I would tell everybody or caution everybody, the line for Radio is usually pretty busy, but there's so much going on even before that. There's the Tonic Gallery down the street at New Day
Meadery. Yeah, tell me about the Tonic Gallery, because that's something you guys, you know, sort of added on, I know, in the past few years.
We think this is about the 6th or 7th year for the Tonic Gallery, and we get about, we've had anywhere from 50 to 100 different local visual artists donate their work for auction. And, you know, you can come and pick up a Douglas David oil painting or a Larry Endicott photography or a Kyle Ragsdale oil painting.
That's great.
And bidding starts at $100 and tops out at about $500. So okay. These artists, you know, they give their work to us. Every penny of what we raise from their artwork goes directly to the Second Helpings program area. So we know that artists get hit up a lot, but we want them to know that we're using their work the best way that we can.
And again, that's at the Mead?
That's at the New Day Meadery.
New Day Meadery.
There's a preview. The first Friday in November, there's going to be a preview party at New Day Meadery where you can actually go and buy now for the pieces. It'll be the only night you'll be able to bid on them before the night. Okay. You'll be able to pay the full price for them. But this year we're adding that if somebody wants to come and do a buy it now deal with the painting, we're going to also give them two tickets to the hottest show in town.
Cool.
The gallery opens on the 18th, the night before the music starts, 5 days at New Day Meadery, and then the theater opens at 7.
Okay. Yeah. And so you guys really just kind of take over Fountain Square down there.
Yeah, we've pretty much. It's getting to the point where we've kind of got the entire block there, and eventually maybe we'll get into like a Tonic Palooza. We'll tent the whole area or something.
Well, we've been pulling more of the neighborhood in the last few years with a program we have called Tonic Tables, which is restaurants around the area like Santorini's and Smokehouse on Shelby and stuff. Mm-hmm. We'll donate about 10% of every bill that night to Second Helpings if you go and have dinner there before the night.
We have an event called Tiny Tonic that happens that evening, too, early on, where a local restaurant in Fountain Square will host an artist. This year it's going to be Scott Rudisill of Rudy Tunes, and he'll play some of the artists that we've got on the roster for the evening. It's a little bit more of a family event. Kids are welcome. They can sing along. They can play. They can grab a bite, and then before mom and dad go into the show.
Nice. Hey, Matt, I've got to ask you, because I know that you're a musician as well, and you've played in past Tonic Balls. What are you gearing up for this year?
I am going to do the Michael Jackson room because I just have to.
Okay, now tell me again, which theater has each artist?
Okay, the Fountain Square Theater has Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Radio has R.E.M. Uh-huh. And the White Rabbit Cabaret has David Bowie.
Okay, yeah. So you're going to be over at Fountain Square doing Michael Jackson.
Correct, and I probably will pop in on some of the other rooms. But, you know, I have to put all my focus.
Do you know which song you're going to do yet, or is that a secret?
I've got, like, I can only tell you it's a secret, but that there's a 11-piece orchestra in the works.
Okay.
Just to make sure that it's done properly.
Okay.
It's very important to me.
What is the name of your act this year, Matt?
I will be billing myself this year for one night only as Matt Mays and the Neverland Ranchers.
Fantastic name. That's great. Very cool. Well, gentlemen, lots of great stuff going on. Terrific events, tremendous events that are just really fun to go to, but also, again, both Harvest and Tonic Balls supporting all the great work that Second Helpings does. Chef Duran, Chef Brown, thanks so much for being a part of this. Matt Mays, Ben Schein, thanks for coming in today. Great to have you guys here.
Thank you.
Thank you for the invitation.
Travis DiNicola with Chef Roger Duran, Chef Sam Brown, musician Matt Mays, and Second Helpings, Ben Schein. The Second Helpings event Harvest takes place on October 1st at Second Helpings, and the Tonic Ball takes place on November 18th. More information about both can be found at secondhelpings.org. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 4, when I'll get a preview of this year's Oktoberfest at the Athenaeum with the little wiener dogs.
I'm frozen. And I'll find out about a new multicultural event at Butler University. Plus, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What Do We Do?
So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by the Center for the Performing Arts, presenting the 2011-2012 season in three first-class venues. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.